Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on East 17th Avenue in Hutchinson.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Broadcasting border to border, coast to coast on more than 130 great radio stations around our great nation. So we have a lot of breaking news unfolding during the program today, and we're going to do our best to bring you all of it. The White House press secretary getting ready to hold a briefing. Of course, a lot of questions about what happened over the weekend at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. We're going to be taking your calls on that as well, giving you an opportunity to sound off. I want you to write down our number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926, as we start the show today. We have a lot of great guests, including House Speaker Mike Johnson in an exclusive interview. We had a chance to do a brief conversation yesterday, about 10 minutes, and so we'll bring you the Speaker of the House in just a little while. Also, Congressman Marlon Stutzman was just about 50 feet away from where all of this happened. We're going to be talking to him as well. But right now, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are incredibly honored to have our good friend, the president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, joining us. And Franklin, first of all, good to have you with us. And we understand that you were actually a guest of our colleague Greta Van Susteren over at Newsmax. So you were there in the ballroom over the weekend.
I was, Todd. I was, fairly close when all of this went down. And it's a little surreal when you look back at it, because it sounded like a tray of food had dropped. So I was talking to the wife of the British ambassador. She was sitting next to me, and we were talking about some things in London. And then you hear like a tray fall, and we look around, and then I noticed FBI agents are leaping over tables and running toward the center of the room. As it was happening, unfolding, I didn't sense danger. A lot of people, you know, jumped under the tables and so forth. I just thought, I'm going to watch, see what happens. So I'm just thankful to God that the president wasn't hurt. You know, Todd, they talk about security and the lapse of security. The security worked. This guy came in heavily armed, and he didn't get into the room. He came in with a plan to kill Pash Patel and senior leaders, the president, whoever else, and he didn't make it. And so the security could have been better. The experts will debate this for years to come, but I can tell you, that guy didn't make it into the room, and all of us in that room were safe. So I thank God for that, and I thank God that he's protected Donald Trump. And people ask, is this... he's just a lucky guy. Luck has nothing to do with it. I believe it's the hand of God. I believe God protected him, and he's an incredible individual, our president. And for him to go and have a news conference, an hour after this happened, and at the White House, I just feel sorry for, those that were in the room. I felt Charlie Kirk's widow was there, and she was just a table away from me. And I know, how disturbing all of this was for her, and maybe some others there. But I just, again, grateful, thankful to God for watching over and protecting all of us, and we give him the glory. And evil did not triumph in that room.
It did amen. Not. You know, Franklin, there are a couple of images, and I don't know if you've seen these, but and it really speaks, I think, to the character of the men that are in the administration. Stephen Miller was photographed. His wife was there. They were seated next to each other, and she's expecting a child. And he was actually shielding her with his body. And then there was the War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, who was literally standing up and shielding his wife there at the table. These two men especially have been so maligned by the media. And I think we got to see the true nature and character of these two men on display in this, you know, this crazy, chaotic time Saturday night.
And you know, it was chaotic. After this thing was over with, you know, the room is packed. I mean, and it's hard to even move in that room. And so we just stood around the table and talked for a little while, and then they said the program would continue, and I thought to myself, it ain't going to continue.
No.
The president's not coming back in this room. So, you know, I opted after about 45 minutes or so to leave. Other people began to leave at that time. But it was, again, I could just thank God that it could have been different. If the security, if this guy had gotten through security, passed him with the guns that he had, there would have been maybe a few dead people. But instead, they stopped him. And Butler, I think Butler in when we see Pennsylvania, this was really a lapse of security. And that was during the Biden administration. They did not allow President Trump to have the right amount of security that he needed. And that man came very close. But yet God, I believe, turned the president's head and saved his life. And then at the golf course, the man there that was sticking his rifle through the fence, hoping to get Trump. They caught that guy ahead of time. They shot at him. He ran. So the president, the security works, I'm just saying. And we thank God that since Butler, the security has been beefed up. And can it get better? I'm sure we can always say, yeah, it can get better. But it worked Saturday night.
I think within 10 to 20 seconds, they had the vice president, they had the president off of the stage, and that was just remarkable.
You would look at the stage, turn your head around, and then you look back at the stage, they're gone.
Gone.
It's that fast. And the Secret Service did an incredible job of protecting the president and the vice president. And it wasn't just them, but the other dignitaries that are in the room. They exit room lightning fast. So again, I just take my hat off to those that are around the president that are in charge of his security. It worked, but the president does need that ballroom, and for the judge and others to say we don't need this. And my goodness, Saturday night is a good reason why you need it, because you have to remember the Hilton is a hotel. And you have guests in that hotel, and all those guests are not screened. You can't do it. How can you do that? The ballroom downstairs is screened, but you can have some crazy people up there, and they had demonstrators up there. So the Hilton is not the place to do this. They need a ballroom that the government can control. So you want to have it right there at the White House or somewhere else, but there needs to be a facility.
Yeah,
where you can hold something like this that is secure, that isn't mixed into a hotel where you have other guests.
Franklin, before we let you go, and we really do appreciate your time, and so glad that you and the others in that room were okay. The reality is a lot of folks are saying, well, you know, both sides need to cool down the rhetoric. As near as I can tell, Franklin, only one side here has been attacking the president and Christians and conservatives consistently, and that is the group that includes the Democrats, the legacy media, and the folks from Hollywood. And the guy in his manifesto pretty much laid out his reasoning based on all of the falsehoods that have been perpetrated by those folks. What say you about that?
Well, I think that's true. And the media needs to tone it down. And the problem you have is with social media. You take like James Carville, he has a rant where he talks about how he hates Trump and wants to destroy Trump and that sort of thing. It's people like this get on there, and you can't control it. So the media, I would hope the media would be more fair in their report of Donald Trump and give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, they're constantly calling him a liar and so forth. The president doesn't wake up in the morning and say, I wonder how many lies I could tell today. Does he get things wrong sometimes? Sure he does. We all do. He's given information, and sometimes it's just partial information, and he reports something, and it's not maybe exactly the way he said it, but he doesn't do that intentionally. It's a lot of it's just based on the information people give him. So I think the president is maybe the greatest president in my lifetime, no question about it. I loved Ronald Reagan. That's when I began voting, when Ronald Reagan was in power, and he was a great president. I thought we'd never have anyone equal him, but Donald Trump, in many ways, I think, has surpassed Ronald Reagan. And we're at a war. We still have a huge issue in the Middle East right now with Iran. Iran cannot continue to have their quest for nuclear weapons. That has to be stopped. That enriched uranium has to be taken. The Straits of Hormuz needs to be opened up, and it's not. You can't trust the Iranians for a second. They're going to play this and play this and play this, and time will be the winner. They can drag it out long enough, they'll win. And I just hope the president will finish the business.
Well said. Franklin, we're going to have to leave it there. Real quick, though, I know that you are well. Are you in Alaska now for the Operation Heal Our Patriots? Is that where you're off to?
Yeah, I'm in Alaska. We haven't opened up the program yet, but we'll be opening our facilities in the next month, and I'm up here just to spend a few days as we begin to get that ready.
Fantastic. Well, it's a great ministry and great work y'all are doing for military couples. And folks, I'd encourage you to go check out Operation Heal Our Patriots, and we'll post a link to that on our live show blog. Franklin, glad you're doing okay, and enjoy your stay there in Alaska.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Franklin Graham, who was a guest at the Newsmax table with Greta Van Susteren, Chris Ruddy, and Rob Schmidt and others. And they had a front row view of all that transpired. So again, coming up, we are going to be speaking exclusively with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who shares his recollections, and also he is really going after the mainstream media, and he believes that all of this rhetoric is to blame. Folks, I saw the piece. I know Robbie George, the great theologian from Princeton, is saying, well, everybody just needs to take a breath. Everybody needs to tone down the rhetoric. This is not an everybody issue. This is the Democrat Party. They're the ones that have been doing this. They've been fomenting this hate for years. And my concern here, when you look at this guy's manifesto, this is what some college grad from Caltech, very well-educated guy, smart guy, and yet he was brainwashed by all of this rhetoric out there. And you have to wonder how many more people are like this guy. I mean, we've all seen the videos on TikTok and X, on Facebook. There are people out there who want to kill Donald Trump, and they want to take out conservatives. And we've got to deal with that. But this is not a conservative issue. This is entirely a Democrat side of the aisle issue. But my question to you is, who do you blame for what happened over the weekend? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%. While inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses. just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to secretaccount29.com. That's secretaccount29.com. secretaccount29.com.
We now take you behind the scenes at the Trump White House. Let's listen in as President Trump thanks the Secret Service.
You guys, you did a great job in stopping him cold. It was just like Matt Dillon or John Dillinger. And, you know, boom, it was over.
Sir, we can't take all of the credit. If the Washington Press Corps hadn't disoriented him with a standing ovation when he came into the room, he might have been able to see you, and things could have gone worse.
Oh, wow. Well, I thought I saw someone doing the wave back there. I think it was CNN.
Join us the next time our hidden microphones take you behind the scenes.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today as we sort of go through what a crazy thing. And the sad reality is this is not going to be the last time somebody tries to take a shot at President Trump. And you heard Franklin Graham, and he was talking about the security. I've actually been in that building many, many times, and I've emceed a good number of events, including the 2016 inaugural ball there at the, so it is a massive, you can fit up to, I think, 2,500, 2,600 people in that room. So it's just huge. And there are many different ways to get down into that facility. So again, yes, the security worked at the, right there at the entrance. My question is, why weren't there other security parameters well ahead and on other floors blocking every single entrance to the ballroom? You know, the other thing here is that we had everybody, just about the entire administration was in that room Saturday night, and including the Speaker of the House, including the Vice President. And God forbid, had that guy been able to get in, the President of the United States would have been 92-year-old Chuck Grassley. The Senator Grassley, he would have been next in line if something had happened to all of our leaders. You would have had a 92-year-old president of these great United States. I mean, that's got to be figured out. But I do like the idea of having a ballroom at the White House so you don't have to worry about these security measures as much as you would, say, at a Washington Hilton or something like that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want you to listen, again, just to some of the unhinged rhetoric that's been directed at Donald Trump. Cut eight, please.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Are they a threat to democracy? Yes. Are they going to take our rights away? Yes. Are they going to put people's lives in danger? Yes. Are they going to endanger the planet by not giving climate change? Yes.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
She's a genuine danger to American security.
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
We have to preserve our democracy. Or speak out against lies and hate.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Have a consistent narrative about how dangerous Trump is.
President Biden has been clear-eyed about the threat that the former president represents to our democracy.
Donald Trump is an existential threat to our democracy and our most fundamental freedoms.
Kamala needs to stop saying that President Trump is a threat to democracy. It's now being received by some unhinged people as a call to action. Enough is enough.
And there you have it, folks. Those aren't conservatives. Those aren't Republicans. Those are all Democrats. These are crazy people. President Trump is right. These are crazy people. These are lunatics. And the reason why is they have been weaponized by the mainstream media, by Hollywood, by the academic community, and these activist judges and the legacy media. All right. I want to say hello to all of our folks listening to us and watching us today. We've got a pretty lively chant going on right now over on the YouTube channel. Also, you can now watch the show at toddstearns.com. Follow along in our live blog, and you'll also be able to take part in our daily poll today. Be sure to check that out. This is the Todd Stearns Show. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we're honored to have House Speaker Mike Johnson. And Mr. Speaker, I think the entire nation has seen the images of you being whisked away by the Secret Service agents at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Just what an incredible scene, and what a bizarre night it had to have been.
It was a rather surreal night, and you know, we live now in a series of surreal days and events. We're in unprecedented times. You know, the Trump administration has his two terms have been marked now by three failed assassination attempts. I wrote a little bit about that on social media, just my thoughts on it. But yes, it was a surreal evening. When the event occurred, I was up on the upper platform. I know you've been in that ballroom many times, Todd, but the giant Hilton ballroom, I think there was over 2,500 people there, but I was up on the upper deck taking photos with people and trying to get out of that crowd to get back to my table. And all of a sudden, the next thing I knew, my Capitol Police detail came and grabbed me by my shoulders, literally, and pushed me out the door and down to the first exit. And half the team came with me. The other half went to grab my wife, Kelly, who was across on the other side of the ballroom, and pushed her out another door. And it was just a chaotic scene. And so we sat. My phone was left at the table, and so I couldn't follow anything as I was sitting in our vehicles under the hotel. To figure out what was going on. So I was relying upon my detail to give me the updates. Just the whole thing, a surreal evening, and another sign that we live in very unusual times.
So you had no idea that, because you know, you could hear, and a lot of people thought, even the president thought, somebody had dropped a tray or something. So you had no idea until you were in the safety of the vehicle.
Yeah, I didn't even hear the gunshots because it was where I was up on the upper platform. It's a giant room. I mean, you can almost play football in that room. There was a lot of chatter and you know, talk, and so I didn't hear it. So I didn't know what was going on at all. And the photo that you've seen, the Reuters image, somebody was there, you know, with a camera, I guess, in the lobby. And they were running me to the vehicle where I met my wife. It was just a wild night. And then, you know, of course, we talked with all of our colleagues and friends who were in the room all night and all day today. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's been a busy time. You know, look, I would tip my hat to our, you know, law enforcement, first responders. They acted so quickly to bring the situation under control. You know, there's some scrutiny and criticism of Secret Service and, you know, how the event was handled. But, you know, when you're in a large venue like that, at a hotel like that, it's a serious challenge. And, you know, obviously we need to review all that. Obviously we need to make changes where necessary. But, you know, the people that were there, I can tell you, they acted valiantly, the law enforcement and Capitol Police, Secret Service. And they jumped into action and they protected people, and that's their job. And so I'm grateful they're willing to do it.
I do wonder about the security aspect. You know, I've been in that facility and a number of times for a number of different events, and I can see how somebody would have been able to get in there. But I wonder if that's really the big issue here is, do we need to have that event at a more secure location?
Well, I mean, is there a more secure location? That's the challenge. You know, you heard the president spontaneously in his press conference last night, which I thought was really well done. He mentioned the necessity of the ballroom, and that is one of the prior and primary motivations for having that facility. He's described some of the, you know, the safety features of that new construction. I mean, the windows, for example, will be 7 inches thick, and they could take an automatic weapon at close range and not have the bullet go through. You know, it would be a super secure facility for events of this kind, because you would be on the White House compound, completely surrounded, and all the rest. When you're in a commercial facility like a hotel, I mean, the Hilton Hotel there is a giant venue. It's used for all sorts. We do the national prayer breakfast there. We do, you know, Washington Mardi Gras, my state of Louisiana's annual, about 80-year tradition is there in that same ballroom. There's a literal Mardi Gras parade with floats and everything that goes around that ballroom. It's so large. So it's one of the only places that can accommodate a crowd that size. So the analysis now, Todd, is that will we be able to continue having large events where you have, you know, last night in the ballroom, you had the president, the vice president, the speaker of the house, and you know, most of the cabinet. I guess everybody's reevaluating where we can all be in the room together. The line of succession would have gone down. Chuck Grassley would be the president of the United States today if it had gone another way, you know.
A 92-year-old president of the United States, and you're right. I mean, that it was just a, you know, when you step back and everyone's breathing a sigh of relief, and then you wonder, oh my gosh, what could have been if that guy would have gotten into that room?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it requires us to reflect on everything we do and traditions. It's very sad about the state of the culture. And, you know, look, there's always, I heard one of my Democrat colleagues on television this morning, again, talking about gun control. Look, this was small caliber, you know, weapon, apparently. And it's the problem, the evil is not with the weapon that is used. The problem is the human heart. And that's what we have to address. I thought the president's comment last night at his press conference, he said, you know, in light of these events, I just ask all Americans to recommit with their hearts to resolving our differences peacefully. What a concept, right? We've got to get back to that.
Are you concerned about Cole Allen and what happens next? We certainly saw this with the Mangione shooting in New York City, where he became the cause celeb for a lot of very sick people in this country. And there are concerns that might happen with this guy. His manifesto, it's very clear that he was motivated to do what he did based on all of the fake news that's been out there about the president, the administration, and the Democrats. I wonder if they bear some responsibility here.
Well, they do, and that should be part of our dialogue going forward. We've got to turn down the temperature, and we say that after one of these events every time. I hope this individual last night, I don't even want to say these guys' names. They don't deserve the attention, but, you know, they have him. He should spend the rest of his life in prison, just like the guy that they arrested on the golf course back in September of 24 on the second failed assassination attempt. He'll be behind bars forever, and he should be, because they're a danger to society. And when you have political figures and those with big social media platforms and the rest, people who of influence, who use this not just divisive language, but the incitement of violence, it's got to stop. I mean, this is going to lead us, our society and our culture, into some very dark places, as it already has. And I think everybody in any position of influence like that has to act responsibly. And that's certainly a conversation we need to continue to have.
Mr. Speaker, a couple of things that observations I noticed. I know Stephen Miller has come under such ferocious attack in the media among Democrats up on Capitol Hill. But for me, the true nature, I think, of people, you sort of see it when a situation like this unfolds. And to see him shielding his pregnant wife with his own body, it just really does tell you these are human beings. And these are good people that have really been, I think, just slandered by the media and the Democrats.
Of course. And there are great people serving in this cabinet. I saw that photo. That's who he is. That's who all these people are. They're great Americans. I mean, they take a tremendous amount of abuse and criticism and even, you know, threat. I mean, half the cabinet now lives on military bases because they're under constant threat. It should not be this way. And yet, in the face of all that, people are still willing to serve. You know, it's a dangerous time. The threat level's increased. And yet, they face that every day to do their job. Why? Because they care about the country. They're certainly not doing it for public favoritism. Certainly not doing it for, you know, wealth building. They're doing it because they're patriots and they're willing to take the risk. And so I think it was a good sign of character on a lot of people's part last night. And as the president noted as well, Todd, you know, it really was a moment of unity in that ballroom. And that's another thing. You know, we all remember fondly after The only good thing about the tremendous and unspeakable tragedy that was 9/11 was the couple of days after that, where the nation was united as Americans, you know, and Congress all stood out on the steps and saying God bless America together and all of that. And the president saw that. We all felt it last night in the immediate aftermath of the event. And even before it, it was a good kind of esprit de corps in the room. And gosh, that's the best of America. I feel like Lincoln, you know, we ought to appeal to our better angels, and I hope we still can.
Agreed. Mr. Speaker, before we let you go, there has been a lot of talk. We've had a lot of members of your caucus on my radio show and TV show calling out Majority Leader Thune and saying, we have got to pass the Save America Act. Where do things stand now? And have you had any conversations with the Majority Leader about getting that through?
Yes. I mean, every time we speak, I talk with him about that. Of course, he passed a version of that at least three times in the House, and it's sitting over there. The problem is not with the Republicans, of course. It's with the threshold of 60 votes that is necessary to move it. And they can't get any Democrats to do that because, as the president rightfully notes, that he doesn't, you know, they rely upon cheating in elections. I mean, that's the fact. Why else would they oppose citizenship as proof to register to vote and a photo ID when you show up? These are 90-10 issues in public opinion, and 70% of the Democrats agree, and yet they won't vote. So Thune has a problem. Really, the only way to get around that is to break the filibuster, and that's the big talk right now. I'm concerned, Todd. I mean, you know, my background's constitutional law. I think very carefully about you know, risk and benefits and consequences of these things. But I will tell you that I am becoming convinced that the Democrats will certainly nuke the filibuster if they're ever allowed unified government and control again. And that's a frightful thing that we've got to take into consideration, and I think it should determine our courses of action right now.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Speaker, really appreciate your time today. Thank you, sir.
You too, my friend. Great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Dylan. We almost blew out speakers across America. It's these allergies, folks. I'm sneezing. Well, I'm not sneezing out the wazoo, but I am sneezing. It's, anyway, welcome back. Good to have you with us today. And two big powerhouse interviews, Speaker Mike Johnson and Franklin Graham. And if you want to go back and listen, we covered a lot of ground with both men. If you want to go back and listen, you can do that. Simply download our free podcast over at toddstearns.com. Now, we have introduced something new today. Dylan and I'm really excited about this. You know, we're adding, dare I say, bells and whistles to the show.
Yes, it's very exciting.
And so we've added the live show blog, and you'll be able to go in and find out who our guests are going to be. We also have the live video stream, so you'll be able to watch that. And a lot of you folks are conversing. The chat is incredibly active today on YouTube. I don't know what's in the Wheaties. But also, we have a brand new poll, and every day we're going to be issuing a new poll. We're calling it Todd's Daily America First Poll. That's very clever, I think.
I would agree.
That's pretty much all we could come up with on the fly. So the question today, and I want you to go and vote, and we'll be sharing the poll results later today on the program. Who do you blame for the violence directed against President Trump and MAGA conservatives? The media, Democrats, Hollywood, or all of the above? So all you have to do to vote is go to toddstearns.com, click on the live show blog during the break, and you'll be able to have access to all of that information. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So a lot of people are really upset about the security issue. And I know one of them, Carrie Lake. And Carrie Lake, by the way, is going to be on my Newsmax show tonight. Here's what she had to say. She was actually in the room last night. Cut number one, please.
Media, how the media, Carrie, to your point, handles this story and whether they tell the truth about the threats to this president and the dangerous rhetoric and all that. Your quick final thought, because we're getting closer to the president coming out.
Well, I hope the president delivers what he was going to deliver tonight, which is probably going to be sharp, poignant, and funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know who was in charge of security tonight. I felt it was lax. I was very concerned walking in. I thought, this is very lax. I've been to a million of these events with the president, never seen it this lax, especially considering the group that we were in. And you know, I think the media from CNN, who I sat and talked to, and I don't play around. I don't act like I like people when I'm in public with them because I'm sitting next to them and we're at an event that's a party. I told the people at CNN, you guys have been derelict in your duties to the American people. I'm always going to do that because I think that as a journalist, you have a duty to tell the truth. And I'm glad that Newsmax is doing that. I look forward to seeing with the president. I'm about two blocks from the event waiting for my ride to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
We never had our dinner. We never had the enjoyment of hearing the president speak, but we know that we support him.
Yep.
And
we're glad he's safe.
We are.
Yep. And we're glad he's safe. Carrie, we're glad you're safe as well. Thank you, Carrie Lake.
By the way, Dylan, I don't know if you saw any of the video. I was watching the C-SPAN coverage only because they were the only ones covering it when it actually happened. So the way it works, everybody comes in, they do the Pledge of Allegiance or National Anthem or something. They have the posting of the colors, and then everybody eats their dinner, and then about an hour later, they come back and they do the show. And that's what was going on. They had just wrapped up. Everybody sat down, and C-SPAN's doing the coverage, and it was somewhat comical because they're like, oh, we believe there's been a problem. Yeah, this is C-SPAN. They talk with the golf voice. And they couldn't figure out what was going on. So I had to flip over to Fox. And, of course, everybody, you know, they were all over the story at that point. But what I thought was interesting, you know, they were accusing, oh, who was it? The media, they've been accusing Kash Patel and Pete Hegseth of basically being drunkards. And I thought it was interesting. They kept the cameras going even after the attack. And people are milling about. And Dylan, there's video of the journalist actually stealing bottles of wine from the tabletops.
Of course.
And one of them. And look, after you survived a terrorist attack, you're probably going to want a drink or two.
I mean, you might deserve that.
I'd be going through a couple of six packs of Dr. Pepper after that.
Right.
I'm just telling you. But there's a woman and she had like this giant coat on. And it was like she was in one of those videos, one of the reparations videos. You know, where they're going into the Walgreens and
yes.
just like loading up. And she grabbed like two bottles of wine and was putting them in the coat.
They're probably really expensive bottles of wine, too.
The other favorite part, this was great. This would have been me. So, you know, all these reporters are ducking under the tables. And you could tell some, not all of them did. Like Pete Hegseth, he wasn't going anywhere on that ground. He was standing his ground. Franklin Graham, you heard him. There's some guy. And everybody around him is on the floor. He's sitting there, and he's just eating a salad. He's eating the food.
He's thinking, if it's my time, it's my time. But I'm going to enjoy it.
I'm not going to go on an empty stomach, I'll tell you that much. All right, where's the appetizer? But you do, I mean, it's what would you do in that situation? You got to see in real time people's reactions. And one of the fascinating things, that room filled with journalists, Dylan, there must have been 5,000 different variations of what happened that night. I have never seen so many journalists not get the story right. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, in that moment, you're probably just chaos, and just the few seconds you get to remember what actually happened. So, yeah, I can imagine it's all kind of different.
So they had a mentalist. He was going to be the guest speaker.
Oz.
Yeah, I was kind of excited about that. And the president and first lady were not going to stick around for that. So we knew ahead of time they were leaving. So Oz went over and that's what he was doing. He was literally doing whatever kind of a prank or whatever he did on the first lady.
Yes.
And it involved what the name of Caroline Leavitt's baby.
Right.
Which he didn't know, but apparently he knew.
Yeah. He's pretty good at this. He actually was the one that did Joe Rogan's pin number. I don't know if you remember that, but it freaked Joe Rogan out.
So anyway, that was what was happening. And so they were like marveling at that. And then Melania looks up and she's got a direct line of sight. And she was like, what's going on? You can see her ask what's going on. So anyway, all right, we've got to take a quick break here. Hey, in the break, head over to the website, toddstearns.com. Vote in our poll on the live show blog. Go check that out. And we'll be talking to you folks right there in the newsroom.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Voice America.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us. Very busy news day. In addition to deciphering all the things that happened over the weekend, you've got the King of England, King Charles, in town. And he's visiting with President Trump. I believe they're sharing a meal tonight. And they're going to visit, Dylan, they're going to visit the White House beehive, which is apparently like a huge thing now in Washington, D.C. And it looks like their hive looks like a little miniature version of the White House. So there you go.
I did not know about this. I'm going to have to look this up.
Who knew? It's always the small things. We have to pay attention to the detail. By the way, write down our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We have a jam-packed show. Of course, first hour, House Speaker Mike Johnson joining us, Franklin Graham joining us. Tonight on the Newsmax show, we have Carrie Lake, Congressman Abe Hamadeh from Arizona. And coming up a little bit later this hour, we have Congressman Marlon Stutzman. And the congressman, by the way, just about 50 feet away from what went down in the White House correspondents' dinner in that ballroom. Well, I want to go right away to a great, great journalist from Real Clear Politics. Susan Crabtree joins us. And Susan, great reporting, huge fan of the work you're doing there at our nation's capital.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Now, I understand, you know, we've got some breaking news that you were sharing on social media involving Susie Wiles. There's been a lot of concern from people that were attending the dinner about the security, and it seems as though there may be some movement there. What can you tell us?
Well, it was announced today through a statement to Bill Malusian that Susie Wiles is going to call a leadership meeting with the Secret Service to go over protocols. They said they're standing by Sean Curran, the director of the Secret Service, but they do think that these protocols need to be reviewed. And we have a lot of big events coming up, the 250th anniversary of our country. The World Cup is coming up. These protocols need to be reviewed so this doesn't happen in any place again. This, despite the heroism on display Saturday night, that prevented a tragedy, this, sad to say, was an epic failure on the part of the Secret Service to have our cabinet members, our president, vice president, dignitaries, members of the press corps, underneath tables, fearful for their lives. Erica Kirk running out of there saying she wanted to go home. This could have been avoided. It should have been avoided. And it was the planning. It's not the rank and file Secret Service members who are executing the plans. It's the people and the supervisors that are putting them in a place of failure.
You know, what was shocking, Susan, when you go back and look at the video, which was a bit grainy, of when the guy, you know, bum rushed, they were in the process of dismantling. I mean, there was nothing for that guy to go through. They were dismantling all of that. I mean, all this guy had to have done was I hurled an IED or some sort of an explosive device. And I think he may have possibly been able to get into the ballroom at that point. I mean, it's just really shocking. And I mean, you're right. I mean, the people inside that ballroom, the security forces, they did the right thing and they did what their training told them to do. But my question is, how is it that guy was able to get that close to the ballroom?
That is the ultimate question. And they were dismantling it. They were sitting in an idle position. They weren't in a robust security posture. And that is a leadership issue to tell them, do not dismantle that checkpoint, those mags, until well into the evening, if at all, until the event is over. There were still people taking their pictures on the red carpet. Stragglers come into these events all the time. I guess they were going to use the wand with them. But the bottom line is they did rise to the occasion. They did tackle this man down, but it was a bit of luck. What if this was an orchestrated attack with multiple people that were aligned with one of our adversaries? It's not too far off in the imagination because Iran. We're in the middle of a war with Iran, and Iran has made no secret of its desire to assassinate President Trump. And they have even released a video that recirculated after Butler showing a drone assassinating Donald Trump on a golf course. And so this was a bit of luck here that nothing happened, and the heroism of those individuals, officers and agents. But it was a little too chaotic for my taste. And the whole model, they used a 2023 Biden model when Donald Trump broke the mold. Many times do I have to say this? Butler, he had an outdoor rally. They put inexperienced agents in charge of the security for that rally, and the supervisors they did not provide any oversight to say, hey, that AGR building doesn't have somebody on top of it. What are we going to do about that? That is their role. And the supervisors for that event, there are two of them, got promotions and nobody got fired. And then even Sean Curran, he was both the hero and he had some failures that day. He's the leader. Where does the buck stop? He was the leader of that detail, the Donald Trump campaign detail during Butler, and he was given a promotion as well by Donald Trump himself. So, you know, all of these things, you need to have a different attitude when it comes to Donald Trump. We can't be using the same old models. And I know they've made certain reforms in terms of drones and, you know, the security, but at the event like this, it should have been a special national security event like the State of the Union, like inaugurations. There were too many cabinet members in there for it to not have that level of assets and preparation. And maybe you don't even have it at a hotel anymore. Maybe these events can't be done.
And, you know, Susan, and going back, this goes back all the way to the days of Hillary Clinton, where there were a lot of issues with the Secret Service when she, you know, and when the Secret Service was out. And, you know, all sorts of allegations of being involved with prostitutes and all that kind of stuff. It just seems as though there has been a lackadaisical atmosphere around the Secret Service. You look at, and I think you pointed this out, Ryan Ruth, there were shots, you know, the agents returned fire. They missed. Apparently the same thing happened Saturday night, and they missed this guy. And I'm just wondering how is that possible?
There is a question also of friendly fire. The Secret Service sources in the community have analyzed the video over and over again with me, and they're questioning whether it was a friendly fire incident because no one shot Cole Allen, but a uniformed division officer was shot, and it was just too chaotic. There were too many officers sitting idly. There was three officers backed up to one wall just standing around chatting. That is not a robust security posture, and I don't necessarily blame them. Where was their supervisor to tell them you are not to dismantle that magnetometer and that checkpoint? That was not a real checkpoint that he, you know, bum rushed through. It was a dismantling checkpoint. And they were not in a robust security posture. So there are many, many things wrong with this. I think the last line of defense, which was really around the president himself, they did their jobs. But the second layer of defense that was closest to the ballroom, that was not where you needed to be magging people.
Right.
You should be doing that outside, farther out. And you know, this there is a culture of corruption in the Secret Service. There is just people take care of their friends. They're not even disciplined. There's been a morale problem for years and years and years. And you layer on top of that the DEI priorities that were mandated by President Biden. And it was a real mess. And you lost a lot of the talent and the senior agents out the door, especially after Butler, but also before Butler.
And Susan, again, it's just the security of this president, especially with the level of threats. There was the incident where they went to a restaurant in D.C., and it looked as though somebody had tipped off all those protesters that were already in the dining room. At that point, why would you even allow the president to enter that building once you've, you know, realized those protesters are there? Saturday night, there was a woman who literally broke through the security line and tried to rush the presidential motorcade. why wasn't that woman engaged? You know, they sort of treated her with kid gloves. It just seems to me that we've really got to rethink how we're protecting our leaders right now.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, Susie Wiles, the chief of staff of the White House, she has announced that they are going, even though they are standing by Sean Curran and the leadership of the Secret Service, they have said that they have did a great job Saturday night preventing any tragedy. And that is true. But the overall security posture and planning was obviously an epic failure. In when you have dignitaries and the president and the vice president and all of his cabinet that was there, ducking under tables, you have Erica Kirk running out crying, re-traumatized. This is a failure, an unbelievable failure, actually, and highly preventable. That's the thing, because even the perpetrator was musing in his manifesto about how soft the target was, and he was just surprised by how ridiculous it was. He said, "I will be dead if the Secret Service does their job. The only reason why I would be able to answer questions afterwards is if they did a horrendous job." Well, he is alive. They did not hit their target. And, you know, I still give applaud those agents and officers, because it could have been a horrible, horrible, but preventable tragedy.
Susan, real quick, before we let you go, you know, again, the story that nobody seems to be talking about, but you brought up a great point here, is that those agents in that room, none of them have gotten a paycheck in the past, 71, right, 72 days. Do you think we're going to see any movement on that?
I hope so. I think that's just ridiculous. It's an abomination that these Secret Service agents that I've talked to over the last few weeks say, especially those on the vice president's detail, because it's different than Kamala Harris, was a lot less travel. Their tempo is ridiculous, and they're having to pay for their hotels and their meals themselves on their credit cards. And it's affecting their credit scores. I mean, can you even imagine? And that yet you're supposed to be preparing to protect the president of the United States, and you're dealing with, you have to put your hotels on your credit card when you travel to Pakistan? I mean, this is beyond ridiculous. And so, yes, I hope Congress gets a message. I also hope Congress, Senator Rand Paul, starts taking a harder look at the Secret Service and calls the leadership up there. Sean Curran has not been forced to answer tough questions by Congress and the Secret Service since the Butler investigations. And he was never hauled in front of Congress. Where are the reforms? Where is the congressional oversight? I think it's been highly lacking. I've been saying that for months and months. There have been numerous incidents, and you can just go on my X feed, and I talk about them constantly, and I feel like I'm a lone voice in the wilderness. And it takes a tragedy, or an almost tragedy, a too close for comfort situation like this, for people to really focus their attention on the fact that this has nothing to do with partisanship, has everything to do with our continuity of government.
Absolutely. And real quick on that, the reality is we came very close to having a 92-year-old man as the president of the United States, the president pro tem, Chuck Grassley. I mean, he was next in line. That's a very disturbing thing for folks to think about. Susan, we're going to post a link to your Twitter feed over in our live show blog. Great reporting, and thank you for the great work you're doing there in our nation's capital.
I'm so thankful to you for your focus on it. Thanks for having me on, too.
Susan Crabtree, everybody, from Real Clear Politics. And again, you can go back and download the podcast. You'll be able to listen to all 3 hours of the conversation, but also our few moments we've had with Susan Crabtree. And the question is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Are you satisfied with the security provided to the president of these United States? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, this segment of the Todd Stern Show, brought to you by our friends at Newsmax, a new study finding 70% of Americans are not getting the full benefits that you deserve. Well, Social Security expert Michael Allen says there are 5 key strategies to increase your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. And Newsmax wants to provide you that report free of charge. All you have to do is call this number 800-999-9690. That's 800-999-9690. And we will send you the information right away. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right. I'm being told by the team that Caroline Leavitt is holding the White House press briefing. We're going to try to dip into some of that. Let's see what she's saying about the weekend events.
You said that the White House is reviewing the security protocols for things that could be done differently in the future. Have you identified anything so far that you would like to see done differently or ask the Secret Service to make any changes in the security protocols for the president, particularly at these large events that are taking place off the White House campus?
Not yet, no, but as I said, there will be a meeting here at the White House in the earlier half of this week, so those conversations will take place.
And on the line of succession...
And I would also just add, you know, look, the Secret Service does not detail their procedures or operations to the public for obvious reasons, because you have crazy people who try to hijack them and get around them. So these conversations will take place in private, but if adjustments need to be made to protect the president, they will be made.
Doing like it does, for instance, with a joint address to Congress for these large events and designating someone as the designated survivor for future large events that the cabinet attends?
Well,
those
conversations ahead of the Waka dinner did take place, but there were several members of the cabinet in the line of succession who did not attend for various personal reasons. So designating one survivor was not necessary, as we had several members who were not there already.
Caroline, people forced to dive under tables and fearing for their lives on Saturday night, including many of the people in this room, myself included. What is the president's message to those people who experienced that terrible trauma and maybe are still fearful today?
I think he would say, as he sort of did on Saturday night, coming in here in his tuxedo, you know, we can't allow these crazy people to let us be afraid. We have to keep moving forward, showing up, doing our job, celebrating our country, and doing what we know is right. But certainly we'd like to see the rhetoric against this president and his supporters toned down, because it is inspiring these crazy people across the country to target not just the president, but those who work for him and those who support him. And it must end.
Is he following the arraignment of the suspect today?
Yes, he is, and I know you all want to follow that too. So it's happening in a few minutes, so I'll let you all go. The Department of Justice is also going to be speaking momentarily following the arraignment, and I hope that, pray that this is the last time
all right.
I speak to you.
So we're going to dip out of the press conference. That's being ramped up. As you just heard the White House press secretary say, the suspect is going to be arraigned, and we will carry that information for you as well. Hang tight. Got to take a break. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com. Vote in our poll in the live show blog. Who do you blame for what happened over the weekend? Hang tight, everybody. We have Congressman Marlon Stutzman joining us. Your calls as well. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And just for a moment here, I want to go back and play some audio. And this is Don Lemon. Don Lemon, formerly of CNN. Just take a listen to what he said about the Republican Party.
We tried to warn the folks, but the folks wouldn't listen. Some folks wouldn't listen. Like Bill O'Reilly used to say, some of the folks just wouldn't listen. And they didn't. And so they put this maniac, this incompetent person back into office. We tried to tell you that this was a very, very bad, stupid man, but you didn't listen. And now the GOP needs to burn to the ground because they have gone along with everything he has said. He has said they have willingly gone along with his cult.
All right, that was Don Lemon. And now I want you to hear from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Cut number two, please.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
All right.
Let that sink in and don't be a damn bit afraid of saying it, because that's exactly who he is.
All right, there you go. Just a little bit of the rhetoric. We played almost 2 minutes of it earlier in the show. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend from the great state of Indiana, Congressman Marlon Stutzman. Congressman, you were there in that ballroom, and you were not very far away from where the gunman eventually got taken down.
Yeah, Todd, great to be with you. And I was actually sitting towards the middle aisle, towards the, and so the gunshots that I heard, for sure, but I believe they were from security shooting. There was 4 shots. They were big bombs. And we all hit the deck. We immediately knew they were gunshots from where we were sitting. I can see why, you know, where President Trump was sitting up further on the dais, you know, may not have heard them as loudly and clearly as we did. But they were very clear. And, you know, I was really surprised at how lax the security was going into the hotel Saturday night. I mean, if you go to the White House to see, you know, for an event with the president, I mean, you have to show your ID. They match your name to a registry. We just showed a card that was about 2 by 3 inches and flashed that several times, and then had to go through security metal detectors right outside the ballroom. So I think there should be a lot of questions asked about how the hotel handle security for big events like that.
Well, yeah, I'm with you, and I've been in that ballroom many, many times in the past, and I was just surprised at the, you know, how that guy was able to get to that point. The fact that there were no checkpoints, you know, I guess deeper into the hotel, that this guy was basically, I mean, we were talking to Susan Crabtree with Real Clear Politics in the last segment. This guy could have hurled an IED, stunned everybody, yeah, because nobody was looking, nobody was paying attention. They were literally tearing down the security entrances there.
Well, and remember this too, Todd, the city, or the hotel is in D.C., which is basically a gun-free zone, and this guy smuggled shotgun pistols into a hotel, a D.C. hotel, and was a guest there at the hotel for several, or, you know, for a day, it sounds like. And so the fact that he was already in the hotel, and then knowing that earlier last week, the First Lady's Luncheon was in that same hotel on Wednesday, then the Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday, you would think that the security would have been much better around that entire complex. And so you're exactly right. As far as he got in there, and the fact that he ran through that security checkpoint that we all see on TV, I mean, that was like a wide open, you know, like a running back running right up the middle, and nobody, there should have been some sort of a barrier there if nobody's going to prevent that hole from being blocked. I mean, he ran right through it.
He did. It's there, but for the grace of God, you know, and again, we just have to be so thankful that the president was okay. But again, Congressman, you know, when you look at the other people that were there, everybody in the line of succession was in danger, aside from Chuck Grassley, who would have been next to the line after Mike Johnson, who I don't believe was there. But again, it just, I wonder if we're really going to have to rethink who's going to be in those kinds of large gatherings like that.
Well, I go back to the security of the facility, and that's my bigger concern. Mike Johnson was there as well. So you had, of course, the vice president, Mike Johnson. And then you would know after that the lineup there, but there were a lot of cabinet members. There were ladies that told me that they didn't even inspect their purse going in. And, they, you know, I know that, again, there was no matching up of who was in the audience. We just all had these little cards that we had to show to get in. I understand it's a big gathering, but, you know, in this day and age, and as you were talking about earlier, the rhetoric coming from the left, it is so over the top. And the fact that even, you know, Nora O'Donnell on 60 Minutes last night reads the worst part of the manifesto, the left has pushed this whole narrative on President Trump over the Epstein files, pedophile, rapist, and, you know, that's their Russia collusion narrative this time around. And, you know, when these people on social media, you know, read all this stuff, they start to believe that's the reality. And I tell you, that's what's causing this. The bullets are coming from the left. They're not coming from the right. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. President Trump has nearly been assassinated 3 times, and it's getting to be too much, frankly. And that's where I'm getting, upset. And, the fact that we haven't funded DHS, Secret Service, they haven't gotten a paycheck, and it's irresponsible. That Secret Service agent that stood right in front of President Trump as soon as the agents came in, that man put his life on the line for President Trump, and he's not getting a paycheck. The fact that they have our back and that we aren't getting them paid means that we don't have their back. It's terrible and irresponsible.
Well, that's a great point you raise, and Susan Crabtree has been doing some extensive reporting on this over at Real Clear Politics. She says, Congressman, this is just insane that the Secret Service agents are having to put all their expenses on their personal credit cards because there's no money. And that's just unacceptable. And I'm wondering why the first order of business today was not to bring back Congress specifically to start funding Secret Service and DHS again.
Yeah. I mean, the House Republicans, we have funded it multiple times. This latest Senate version that was just passed end of last week only funds Border Patrol and ICE. They're leaving out Secret Service, TSA. I don't understand the strategy at all. But, when we need to get back to D.C., and it should be a voice vote, Todd. It shouldn't even have to be a roll call vote. This should be a voice vote, and all of DHS should be funded. And let's get past this craziness. And because here you have, on one hand, the Democrat leadership trying to shut off funding for ICE, Border Patrol, and then it ultimately shuts off funding for Secret Service and TSA that's supposed to keep our people safe. Then you have Jimmy Kimmel out there saying some of the most heinous things that you could be said right before the dinner. And, the other thing that I found, Todd, as I was walking into the hotel for the dinner, the protesters outside were speaking some of the most vile language I've ever seen in a situation like that. And I felt completely vulnerable walking in there, the way that they were yelling at us. And what these people need to realize, they have created these monsters. The left has created these monsters. And with the whole narrative against Trump, it's now bleeding all the way down to these people, and they're starting to take matters into their own hands. And that's what happened the other night.
Congressman Marlon Stutzman joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and you mentioned Jimmy Kimmel, who really made some hateful jokes before the dinner, referring to her as an expectant widow. And now a Congressman Melania Trump posting a statement, and I want to read this to you. She posted this on her X account. Kimmel's hateful and violent rhetoric is intended to divide our country. His monologue about my family is not comedy. His words are corrosive and deepens a political sickness within America. People like Kimmel should not have the opportunity to enter our homes each evening to spread hate. A coward. Kimmel hides behind ABC because he knows the network will keep running cover to protect him. Enough is enough. It is time for ABC to take a stand. What do you say about what the First Lady just wrote there?
I completely agree. He should be fired. ABC should be ashamed of themselves for allowing their propaganda to continue every night on this late night TV show. And, the words that are being said, remember the old saying, that the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, that's not true. We all know that words are powerful. I mean, look at the challenges that we have with Iran right now. I mean, these guys are terrorists and their rhetoric matches up to it. We don't need that same sort of narrative in our country where we're basically provoking people to shoot at our president and or going after the family. The fact that the First Lady had the FBI going through her personal bedroom at Mar-a-Lago is insane. And I just hope that those who were in that room, I mean, there were conservative commentators, there were liberal commentators, Republicans, Democrats. I hope, we all felt a vulnerability in that moment by a crazy man, a terrorist on the outside. Every person should stop and think, what I say, how will it affect somebody else that may not understand exactly how this whole political, speech works? We've got to be careful with that. And, you know, I was talking to some Democrats that were there that night, and they even told me that their party had left them, that it's a very different party than what it was back in the 90s. And so I hope the Democrat Party does some soul searching, and that needs to start with the leftist media, that they realize that their words do have a lot of power with their voters.
And God love Caroline Leavitt. She's naming names. And just a few moments ago during the press briefing, she specifically called out Hakeem Jeffries, Josh Shapiro, Alex Padilla, Elizabeth Warren, Adam Schiff, J.B. Pritzker, and it goes on and on and on. And Congressman, I mean, I love people like Robbie George, you know, the theologian from Princeton, but he's like, you know, both sides. No, there's not a both sides here. It's only one side that's going out there and killing conservatives, and it's the Democrats and their cronies, and they have got to deal with this.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? We should never allow political violence on the right, and we should never allow political violence on the left. And it's only coming from the left right now. And you know what? I will stand with anybody on the other side against any sort of violence coming from either side. But right now, we all know it's coming from the left, and it's because of people like Jimmy Kimmel and Nora O'Donnell and Tim Walz, Governor Walz. I heard the clip that you played before coming on. I mean, you know, saying that President Trump is a Nazi fascist, all that stuff, it's just not true. And to continue calling him a pedophile and a rapist, it's just not true. And that stuff needs to stop. That's where these people need to be adults and grow up.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We are glad that you are safe. One of your colleagues, Abe Hamadeh, is going to be joining us a little bit later on Newsmax tonight, and we look forward to talking with him. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, Todd. Always good to be with you.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And Melania Trump is just furious right now, and we're going to play the audio of Jimmy Kimmel and what he said that set her off coming up after the break. But again, it's, you know, I don't know if people really understand what the left has done in this country right now. When you look at Ryan Ruth, when you look at Cole Allen, when you look at all of these people that are out there, the guy who assassinated Charlie Kirk, these are all, and I don't like to use this phrase, but they're nobodies. The problem is they've all been radicalized, and they've all been radicalized online by a lot of the garbage that's been spewing from these websites and from social media sites. And so you have to wonder exactly how many more people are like that out there. And what if they start just randomly targeting conservatives? That seems to be the concern here. But this is where Barack Hussein Obama, well, we don't know. We have no idea who did this or why they did it. No, they do. All you have to do is read the manifesto, Barack Hussein Obama, and it's going to take Barack Hussein Obama and all these other folks standing up and saying, we've been wrong, we apologize, we've got to make this right, but even I don't even know if that's going to be enough to stop this mob. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, here's what Jimmy Kimmel said about Melania Trump.
Our First Lady Melania is here. Look at Melania. So beautiful. Mrs. Trump, you have a glow like an expectant widow.
Wow. It's, you know, they pulled that cramp with Barack Obama. Jimmy Kimmel would have been run out of the country. That's what would have happened. It's unacceptable. Let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Ron in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYK. And Ron, what's going on?
I'm trying to keep my head together, brother. God bless that the angels are around to protect our president and our leaders. Second thing is, the Republican Party in this, where is RNC and Gruder's at? Where is the backbone? It's sad to say Melania and other women, even their press secretary, have more fortuitousness and masculinity in the men that's in Congress. They've been doing this stuff, going back to Carver threatening the president, going back last fall and everything else, and we keep kicking down the road. Going back to the 40s, 50s, and 60s when I did history research, didn't matter which party was in at that time period, even though there might have been segregation. If you acted against these issues like this, you would have been charged. You would have been thrown out of Congress, suspended from your cabinet positions. There have been rebukes on both sides equally. But no, we're dealing with demons. It's just like that song from the OJs. Don't call me brother. All I got is a bunch of sea cooks. And you know what the rest of them mean, sir. But but we got to get some politeness. We keep enabling. We got invaders since Biden came in office. I got cussed up because I was wearing a 2020 No More Bernie Sanders hat. You know what I'm saying from that sense. And at that time, you know, from young folks, they're driving cars, raising insurance, no loyalty, and we're just enabling. We just must go along, get along. Which master are you going to serve, liberty or tyranny, God or the devil? That's the question I got to ask, Todd.
These,
please, pray.
These are great points you're making, Ron. And coming up in the next hour, I'm going to unleash a bit on this idea that we are in a de facto state of war with the Democrats. They're killing our people. They're trying to kill the president. They've tried to do it four times. A lot of people forget about the other attack at Mar-a-Lago where shots were fired. They're coming after us, and we have got to start playing hardball. And one of the ways we can do that is with the Republican-controlled Congress. We've got to blow up that filibuster, and we've got to shove every single thing President Trump wants to. Look, if he wants to rename Washington, D.C., Trump, D.C., whatever he wants, get it done. Because we are in a de facto state of war right now. Only one side is shooting. And I say that we don't have to shoot. We can actually use the power we have because we control everything. At least on paper, we're supposed to control everything. That's what we ought to be doing. Ron, gotta run, my friend. Thank you for that call. 901-260-5926. Are you paying attention here, ladies and gentlemen? Because we have got an opportunity, and we've got to shove every single agenda item right through Congress. All right, hang tight. Hour three coming up. Head over to ToddStearns.com. Go check out the live show blog. Be sure to vote in our poll. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I go back to Saturday night, and I think this ought to be an inflection point in our nation's history and how we deal with all of these people out there that are filling up social media platforms calling for the death of President Trump and the death of conservatives. And I am pretty hardcore about this. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, there are some gray areas here. And I think ultimately that's the problem with America, is that there's too much gray. The way I view life, and maybe this is because I'm a person of faith, I'm a Christian man, I read my Bible every day, I have a quiet time, I study the scriptures, and I don't pound people over the head with my Bible, but it certainly is how I approach things, and it certainly reflects my worldview. So everything I do is viewed through the lens of scripture. And I don't believe that there's gray area. If you read the Bible I'm not even talking about being a hardcore Bible scholar, but you know that there is no gray area. There is no wiggle room in Scripture. There is right and there is wrong. And I'll give you an example of this. Whenever something happens to a Democrat lawmaker, for example, I'm normally one of the very first people out there saying, hey, you know, we're praying for you. We're so sorry for your loss if that person has died. I mean, there is a sense of compassion because I believe that we are called as Christians to be pro-life. And that doesn't mean just babies. It means everybody. I'm just telling you that there's no gray area. It's right or wrong. And a lot of times on the left, when something bad happens to a Republican, people are celebrating, they're carrying on, and let me say this, anybody who says they're a conservative and they celebrate the death of a Democrat, they're not really a conservative, certainly not a Christian, because Christians don't behave like that. But that doesn't mean that we have to be wallflowers. That doesn't mean that we have to be namby-pambies. It doesn't mean, as Christians that or conservatives, that we have to be limp-wristed. You do have a right to protect yourself. You have a right to defend your property. You have a right to defend your family. And I'm just, folks, I'm a pretty hardened person. I do, I'm kind of like George H.W. Bush, though. And Dylan, this was before your time, but H.W. Bush, you know, he served in the military, was a war hero, went on to lead the CIA. I mean, he's been there. He's seen a lot. But man, could that guy just, he could tear up. You know, oh, look at that pretty flower. And the next thing you know, he's like crying. And, you know, I'm sort of like that. I get a little weepy sometimes. Not all the time. But as I was sitting there watching all of this transpire, and I watched the expression on the face of the First Lady and Caroline Leavitt, who's expecting a daughter any day now, when I saw the expressions on their faces and the look of shock, and I wouldn't say terror, but it was just confusion. Nobody knew what was going on. They should never have had to experience that. And the fact they did, it disgusts me and it angers me. And it wasn't so much tears as much as it was anger on Saturday, knowing what almost happened. When you look at the layout of that ballroom, it's very clear that the guy had clearly scoped all of this out, because he was very close to being able to gain entry into that ballroom and would have had a clear shot of the dais. So we thank God once again, and you heard Franklin Graham in the first hour of the program saying that he truly believes that God had his hand over Donald Trump. And I absolutely believe that to be true. I truly do. But again, I want to go back to this idea of, well, Christians are supposed to love. Yes, they are. But even Jesus got angry. It's a righteous anger, and we are compelled when we're angry to be righteous in our anger, and I believe that we are righteous in our anger here. And I do believe that we've got to start dealing with these people. I'll give you an example. Immediately after we were talking about this with Susan Crabtree from Real Clear Politics, and she's done some stellar reporting on all of this. As they were evacuating the president out of the building, the motorcade, a woman, one of these unhinged lunatic women, she broke through the barricade and rushed. She was literally running towards the presidential motorcade. And they were telling her to stop, stop, stop. And then somebody, I think, got their hand on her and dragged her back in. I'm sorry, but why wasn't she shot? Why was she not shot right there on the spot? What if this woman would have had some sort of an explosive device? She was that close, she could have hurled that. What if she had a gun? Clearly, I know the beast is bulletproof. But again, why are we allowing these protesters to get so close, these very dangerous people to get so close to our president? And I truly believe that moving forward, we have to imagine that anybody who lunges at the president, lunges at the motorcade, should be treated as a hostile element. And I also think we ought to start taking very seriously when people like Jimmy Kimmel get on national television and start joking or calling for the assassination of President Trump. Those people need to be arrested, and they need to be held, and they need to be charged if crimes were committed. And I don't care if it's 50,000 people, every single one of them needs to be arrested. And we also need to get to the bottom of where this radicalization is coming from. And I think we need to start in our nation's education system. These teachers are filling the minds of these children with poison. And we've got to address that. And if we, folks, how many times have I said this on the program? If we do not dismantle and deconstruct the Department of Education, we will lose this country. But when you see where all of this is coming from, these attacks, they're coming from very well-educated people. They're very the artistic community. This is what happened when communism rose up, when you had people like Hitler, when you had people like Stalin, when you folks, Marxism, it all starts in these artistic theater people community. That's where it starts. And they truly believe that they are justified in killing. There is an assassination culture in this country. It is frightening. Look at what happened. And people are afraid this is going to happen with this guy. Look at what happened with the guy who killed the healthcare executive in New York City on 6th Avenue, right there in front of the Grand Hyatt. The Grand Hilton. My apologies. They're treating that guy like a rock star now. And people are very concerned that that's what's going to happen to this guy. Cole Allen is his name. And people are going to start treating him like he's some sort of a martyr for the cause. But when you peel back all the layers here, folks, you at least this is how I see it, that we have been living in an age of false flags perpetrated by the Democrats. The Southern Poverty Law Center. And the president, by the way, talking about this during that bizarre 60 Minutes interview yesterday, but the president talking about how, you know, and again, about racism. And we're going to play this, and then I want to say something about the KKK. Cut number 7, please.
I see these no kings, which are funded just like the Southern Law was funded. You saw all that. Southern Law is financing the KKK and lots of other radical, terrible groups. And then they go out and they say, oh, we've got to stop the KKK. And yet they give them hundreds of thousands and even millions of dollars.
They were right.
It's a total scam run by the Democrats. It shows you that, like Charlottesville was all funded by the Southern Law. That was a Southern Law deal, too. And it was done to make me look bad, and it turned out to be a total fake. It basically was a rigged election. This was a part of the rigging of the election. Mm-hmm. And that's what you really should be doing. I mean, I hope one of your 60-minute episodes, which really hasn't changed very much for the last few years, I'm surprised, but one of those episodes should be on Southern Law and the fact that they spent millions and millions of dollars on absolute far-right and just bad, bad groups. Mm-hmm. And then they'd use those groups and they'd say, these are Republican groups and we're coming to your rescue. And they're the ones that have funded it and they're the ones that keep them going.
And it's true. So we now know that the Southern Poverty Law Center was fabricating all of these hate crimes in America. Now, are we saying, hear me on this. A majority of the hate crimes that were perpetrated in this country, and Charlottesville was the one that got Joe Biden into the race, by the way, the presidential race, it was all fabricated. It was planned and coordinated and paid for by the Southern Poverty Law Center, according to the Justice Department indictment. Now, I'm a Southerner. I have been a Southerner my whole life, born and raised in the South. I'm a proud son of the South. And I'm just going to tell you, in my day-to-day meanderings for over the past 58 years, aside from one assignment where I had to go and interview a KKK group in Cullman, Alabama, never in my life, Dylan, have I come across a Klans member. I mean, the Walmart, haven't run into anybody wearing bed sheets or pointy hats. Down at the barbecue joint, I haven't seen, I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center would have you believe that the Klansmen are just running around all over the South. I haven't seen any of them. Have you seen any of them? I mean, you're from Mississippi, so.
Okay, well, enough of this Mississippi slander. No, I haven't seen them. No.
You know what I'm talking about. I mean, bumper stickers? Have you seen any Klan bumper stickers?
No, I've not. I don't even know what that would look like.
I haven't. I know this is going to shock a lot of people north of the Mason-Dixon line. I don't see many Confederate flags flying.
Yeah, not too much.
No, when you think about it. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
If you do go to Mississippi, you'll see Confederate flag. You'll see it.
Well, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's the South.
But there's no Klan flags or any Klan stickers.
Right. I mean, you have like the American Legion Hall and the VFW. You don't have the Klan Hall. You know, no. You don't see.
There's no hall.
There's nothing there. I haven't seen in 58 years of living, I have not seen of or heard of a cross burning. I just haven't. I'm just telling you. So I think for a lot of us, you know, when we see these reports coming out of the Southern Poverty Law Center about, well, you know, that racism and white supremacy and the KKK is on the rise. And we're all sitting around here, you know, scratching our heads going, where? Where is it? It just never existed. The reason why is because the Southern Poverty Law Center was making it all up. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, what do we do now? You've got the Democrats out there, and they're actually blaming President Trump. They're blaming President Trump for this. Can you believe that? A lot of people are, well, we just need to just all hold hands and sing kumbaya. You know, sometimes, though, you got to punch the bully in the nose. You can still sing kumbaya. But if the bully is not addressed, if the bully is not confronted, the bully will not learn. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stern Show.
All right, and we do have some breaking news to share with you. We can now tell you officially that Cole Allen, the accused gunman in the White House Correspondents Association dinner, has now been officially charged. The magistrate judge unsealing the case. He is now facing three counts. First, attempt to assassinate the President of the United States, transporting firearms across state lines, and discharging of a firearm during a crime of violence. Now, the attempted assassination charge could carry a sentence of life in prison if convicted. There was no plea at the hearing. He was only informed of the charges against him. There will be another hearing, a detention hearing set for April 30th, and a preliminary hearing set for May the 11th. May I just say, it ought to be the death penalty. And quite frankly, we need to start implementing very public executions of these criminals. All right, let's go to the phones here. William, Morehead City, North Carolina. William, what's on your mind?
Well, hello. And as far as little Jimmy Kimmel is concerned, true patriots, I think you should tune in, watch the show, and directly before the show, during the show, and after the show, any advertiser, you boycott them. Let's boycott them and say, you will no longer, we won't buy your product. And that's all there is to it. And that right there, if the network doesn't have the decency to fire him, then let's hit him in the pocketbook. And then further, if I'm not mistaken, there's laws against inciting riots or terrorism. And I think he did exactly that. And Mr. I call him Dumb Lemon, that guy he clearly was out of bounds. I think you know what I'm talking about. That should not go unpunished.
No, William, I'm with you. I like this idea. And again, I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel at all. But if you are watching and you want to write down, if you folks want to jot down who the advertisers are, I would say reach out to them. I'm not a big fan of boycotts, but I think Jimmy Kimmel's advertisers need to be aware of what exactly they're supporting. And many of them may not be. I would find that hard to believe. They don't know by now because Kimmel hates Donald Trump. But the idea that these Hollywood types, and I go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was killed by an actor of stage. John Wilkes Booth was a very prominent. He was kind of like, the Jimmy Kimmel of his time. So that's why every time I hear these Hollywood folks start talking about wanting to kill or harm our president or making jokes about his death, I get nervous because there is a track record there. Let's go to Marie in Athens, Georgia. Hi, Marie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Well, a couple of things. I can't stand Jimmy Kimmel anyway. And when you just said that about Abraham Lincoln, I just wanted to make a comment that we went to Washington and saw that reenactment that they do at the Ford Theater, and they said that, that his killer was actually President Lincoln's favorite actor, so that was crazy. But anyway, the thing I wanted to bring up was, in this town, I did see a Klan rally here one time, and when y'all were talking about the Klan years ago, and it was very small. And then I went to hear a few things about the Klan and what they were speaking on, just to about our Southern history. And the other thing is that I work with a lot of people here, and this town's very liberal. And I talk to the young people sometimes about different things, and they want to talk about Trump. And I've been sort of targeted a few times because of my beliefs. And they think that everything that we say is fabricated or it's a lie. They don't believe anything, and I really don't know how to turn that around.
Well, it's a great question, Marie, and we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So apparently, I'm reading through the New York Slimes coverage here. They're saying that he actually showed up with all of these weapons. Here we go. He came to Washington with a pump-action shotgun, a pistol, and three knives. And the intent was to kill President Trump. So that information coming out in a court earlier today from the federal prosecutor. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Mike in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Well, I think the Republican Party needs to stop whining, crying, and complaining about the hateful rhetoric and start arresting people for domestic or terroristic threats. Like that, what's his name, Hassan Piker? I was watching Rob Schmidt last week, and Rob had a clip of one of his podcasts where he actually said he told his audience to let the streets soak in their effing red capitalist blood and to gut political opponents.
Yeah, Mike, to that point, we've got a little bit of that. Let's listen to Hassan Piker, cut number six.
If you cared about Medicare fraud or Medicaid fraud, you would kill Rick Scott. Okay, you wouldn't make Rick Scott, former governor of Florida, Rick Scott, you wouldn't make him the current, what is his current office? What is he? He's the Richard Lynn Scott, is an American attorney, businessman, politician, Navy veteran, serving as the senior United States Senator from Florida, a seat he has held since 2019. And also, I believe this past election cycle, he was literally the f-ing head of the, what was it, like the Senate?
All right, so there we go. Sort of ended up, but to your point, this is a bad guy. He's out there calling for people to be killed.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're worried about the midterms as well as, and so am I. But the Republican Party, I mean, the leadership, Johnson and Thune, they don't seem to be. I mean, you got the DOJ arresting the soldier who made a bet, but yet the congresswoman who stole $5 million from FEMA, she gets to resign. I mean, my point is, the Republican Party, they need to stop whining, crying, and complaining and do something.
Mike, I'm with you on this, and it's high time we start playing hardball with these folks. Again, the Republicans, they show up to these fights drinking their apple teenies, wearing their seersucker, and the Democrats show up wearing baseball bats and nunchucks, and we get our butts handed to us all the time. And I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, look, one of the quietest voices over the past couple of days, John Thune, the majority leader, he ought to be out there doing something, quite frankly, blowing up the filibuster. But these Republicans simply do not want to do what needs to be done.
Well, that's the thing. We never seem to be on offense. We never seem to take the fight to the Democrats.
By the way, Mike, you thank you for reminding me of this story. So there is a soldier. His name is Gannon Ken Van Dyke. He is accused of making more than $400,000 trading on Polymarket on the basis of classified info regarding exactly when the U.S. was going to capture Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. So Mr. Van Dyke, a U.S. Army soldier, made a lot of money. And to your point, though, Mike, they're going to go after the Army soldier, But they're not going after any of these lawmakers up on Capitol Hill. Many of them were dirt broke, didn't have two nickels to rub together, and now all of a sudden they're worth tens of millions of dollars. That's okay.
Well, look at Ilhan Omar. J.D. Vance already said that there's irrefutable evidence that she committed, you know, immigration fraud, but nothing happens to her.
Exactly. And that's you if you've been listening to this program for any amount of time, you know that is what sets me off, because they're either crimes have been committed or they have not. You can't have it both ways. And if Ilhan Omar, and to your point, the Vice President of the United States made that statement, so the Vice President either needs to put up or shut up.
Well, yeah, I mean, her magnificent financial situation is due to an accounting error. She's really broke now. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, I mean, how can you arrest a soldier for making a bet where he got $400,000 when Nancy Pelosi's made over $300 million?
Yeah, look, Mike, it is a valid, you have a valid complaint here, sir, a valid complaint. And we're going to call him out on it. I know the vice or the Speaker of the House has offered to come back on. And I will tell you, Mike Johnson has had a change of heart here, and he's really working hard to get the president's agenda across the finish line. And I respect that. Mike, thanks for the call. Oh, here's the president going after Norah O'Donnell. I'm telling you, these reporters, they are beyond help, these reporters. Cut number five, please.
So-called manifesto is a stunning thing to read, Mr. President. He appears to reference a motive in it. He writes this, quote, administration officials, they are targets. And he also wrote this, I am no longer willing to permit a pedophile, rapist, and traitor to coat my hands with his crimes. What's your reaction
to
that?
Well, I was waiting for you to read that because I knew you would, because you're horrible people, horrible people. Yeah, he did write that. I'm not a rapist. I didn't rape anybody.
Do you think he was referring to you?
Excuse me. I'm not a pedophile. You read that crap from some sick person. I got associated with all stuff that has nothing to do with me. I was totally exonerated. Your friends on the other side of the plate are the ones that were involved with, let's say, Epstein or other things. But I said to myself, you know, I'll do this interview and they'll probably, I read the manifesto, you know, he's a sick person, but you should be ashamed of yourself reading that, because I'm not any of those things.
Mr. President,
and I
these
was
are
never,
the
excuse
gunman's
me,
words.
Excuse me. You shouldn't be reading that on 60 Minutes. You're a disgrace, but go ahead. Let's finish the interview.
The other thing that he wrote in
you're
the
disgraceful.
Oh, jeez. Dylan, I've interviewed the president, I think, 9 or 10 times. Never has he said, that's disgraceful.
Not only that, he never called you disgraceful to your
face. I'd be ashamed. Jeez, Lou.
That would hurt.
But it's true. I mean, her mannerisms, her demeanor, it's just, wow, what a sleazeball Norm O'Donnell turned out to be. Good for you, Mr. President. And can we go back to something here for a moment? They've tried to kill this man 4 times. They've tried to throw his kids into prison multiple times. They raided his home. They rummaged through the drawers and the closets of his wife's bedroom. They raided his son Barron's bedroom, little teenage boy at the time. Well, he wasn't little, but teenage boy at the time. He's, what, 8 feet tall? I digress. They've tried to bankrupt this man. They've called him every name under the book. They've labeled him a traitor. All this man has done is to try to make America a better place. The ballroom that they're all upset about, it's not costing the taxpayers a single penny. Private donors forked over the money for that. By the way, when you look at the latest thing they're all upset about, if you've been to the Washington Mall, you know that the reflecting pool is filthy. I was really taken aback, and every time I'm in Washington, I always do an evening monument stroll, and I go right to, and you can smell, it's the odor, it's just ugly. I mean, it's filthy. You've got all the algae and all of that stuff growing up, and one of the fountains in Lafayette Square across from the White House, the fountains have been broken for years. Obama could have fixed it. Biden could have fixed it, but they didn't. Donald Trump's going in, and he's fixing it. And what are they doing? They're trying to crucify the guy. It's not costing us any money. And at some point, I don't know about you, but I've often wondered this. I just, one day I expect Trump to, you know, we're going to wake up and there's going to be a press conference and Trump's saying, you know what? Screw you people. I'm out of here. You tried to kill me four times. You tried to destroy my family. I'm done with you people. I'm genuinely surprised that President Trump has not done that. Any other person, I think that would have been gone a long time ago, probably after the first attempt. But this is a man. That's not who he is. That's not who his character is. He's a man on a mission. He wants to save America for his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. And that's why Trump is doing what he's doing. And for that, they're trying to kill him. So all I can tell you, and I know there are a lot of MAGA people out there, and they're butthurt over the war, and they don't like this and that. And you know what? Shut up. We've got far too many things going on here for us to be worried about these other things right now. Get behind the president's agenda. This president has not steered this country wrong. Some of his plans are unorthodox, but at the end of the day, the plans work. All these people saying Trump's going to usher in World War III, that's a load of garbage. It's just not true. Trust the man. He has not let us down yet.
But he's not a nice man, Todd. He's just, he needs to go to church. Yeah, I agree he needs to go to church. We all do. But you know what? I didn't hire a preacher. We didn't elect a Sunday school teacher. Donald Trump is a ruthless businessman. He is the master negotiator. That's what we elected. So all I'm trying to tell you is get on board with the president's agenda. We cannot have this division. And I'm telling you, we need to start playing hardball. All of these people, do you realize it is a crime punishable by prison time for anyone to threaten the life of someone? So if you're out there and all these TikTokers and all these people on X, they need to be reported to the authorities and they need to be arrested and they need to do serious jail time for their crimes. I don't care who they are. Oh, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. Carrie Lake is among those concerned about the lack of security at the White House, the White House Correspondents Association dinner. Here's what she told Newsmax. Cut one.
Media, how the media, Carrie, to your point, handles this story and whether they tell the truth about the threats to this president and the dangerous rhetoric and all that. Your quick final thought, because we're getting closer to the president coming out.
Well, I hope the president delivers what he was going to deliver tonight, which is probably going to be sharp, poignant, and funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know who was in charge of security tonight. I felt it was lax. I was very concerned walking in. I thought this is very lax. I've been to a million of these events with the president, never seen it this lax, especially considering the group that we were in. And you know, I think the media from CNN, who I sat and talked to, and I don't play around. I don't act like I like people when I'm in public with them because I'm sitting next to them and we're at an event that's a party. I told the people at CNN, you guys have been derelict in your duties to the American people. I'm always going to do that because I think that as a journalist, you have a duty to tell the truth, and I'm glad that Newsmax is doing that. I look forward to seeing with the president. I'm about two blocks from the event, waiting for my ride to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
We never had our dinner. We never had the enjoyment of hearing the president speak, but we know that we support him.
Yep.
And
we're
tired
glad he's
of the
safe.
Lie.
We are.
Yep. And we're glad he's safe.
All right. So now Scott Jennings, the moderate conservative. They call him a conservative. He's really a moderate Republican. Over on CNN, he says that America has a left-wing violence problem. No, sir. We do not have a left-wing violence problem. We have a Democrat Party violence problem. Now, just a little while ago, you had J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, on CNN. CNN, to their credit, called him out. Says, Governor, you compared the Trump administration to Nazis. And the governor says, yeah, I think much of what I have said is proven to be true. Again, doubling down on the rhetoric. Michigan Democrat Senate candidate Abdul El Sayed. They need to be searching that guy. Here's what he had to say. When they go low, we don't go high. We take them to the mud and choke them out. Oh, is that what the Quran says, sir? Just curious. I mean, we could spend 3 hours on this program just playing clips of the violent rhetoric coming out of the Democrats. So let's go to Angie in South Carolina. Hi, Angie. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Good talking with you here. Two things. I want to say I don't think President Trump should organize another dinner for the communicators, because basically what he wanted to tell them is that they're fake. They're really, to the core, rotten people. And it's not a waste of money to spend on these people. Also, I think the senators up on, you know, Capitol Hill, they should get together, the ones that believe that we should get through the Save American Act, and basically, how can I say, stand up against those. They need to get themselves together. I mean, why are they all sitting back in their chairs letting this one man tell them what to do when he's not going along with his party or the majority of the Republicans? I mean, there's got to be something done, just like you said, soon. And if they are so jelly-backed that they can't coordinate, group them to stand against him, then they're not doing anything. And Republicans or MAGA people are just going to, excuse me, hate them for what they're not doing.
Yeah, you know, Angie, I think you raise a lot of good points here. I will say this, part of my greater disappointment of the whole night was the fact we could not hear the president's jokes. And I hear they were going to be hilarious, which meant it was going to be triggering to all of the White House press corps. And I wanted to see them wiggle and squirm and grimace and smirk. I wanted to see all of that, Angie, and we were denied that.
Well, I don't think they're worth the dime or the effort to put another dinner together. I think President Trump is too forgiving. I mean, people will poop on him, and he will turn around and pretend it didn't happen and that they're good guys, so they can convert to his side, and they don't. They won't, you know? They're stuck in their own feces.
Well, yes, so well said there, Angie, and thank you for the call. It's true. As Angie said, those folks in the media, people like Anderson Cooper, they poop on our president. And instead of the president hurling the poop back at him, he says, thank you. And he plants a beautiful crop of daisies. That's our president. So I'm with Angie. I think he is a little too forgiving. And I think we need to be having come to Jesus moments every single day with these people. All right, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, everybody, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have wall-to-wall coverage. Be sure to tune in. ToddStearns.com. Don't forget the live show blog. Vote in our poll, and we're going to see you back here on the radio, noon o'clock tomorrow. Get out there and be good, everybody.